You're listening to Family Talk, the radio broadcasting division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I am that James Dobson, and I'm so pleased that you've joined us today.
Well, welcome back to Family Talk, the broadcast division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and on today's edition of the program, we're going to hear part two of a powerful sermon presented by Pastor Gary Hamrick. Gary is the senior pastor of Cornerstone Chapel in Leesburg, Virginia. He also serves as the chief chaplain for the Loudoun County, Virginia Sheriff's Office, and he also serves on the board of directors of the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. Gary and his wife, Terry, have three grown children and seven grandchildren, and on today's edition of Family Talk, we're going to hear part two of a powerful presentation that he gave recently in his congregational pulpit at Cornerstone Chapel that talks about why your vote matters and offers a biblical perspective for the soul of America. So now let's hear part two of this powerful sermon by Pastor Gary Hamrick right here, right now, on Family Talk.
My point is that God uses flawed people to promote good policies for a nation. You see it all through the Bible. And God used unrighteous people too for the same reason. You look at King Nebuchadnezzar in your Bibles, King of Babylon, King Cyrus in your Bible, King of Persia. Those two guys were pagan as pagan comes. And yet God put it on their hearts to do righteous things for Israel and for the Jewish people. And for that reason, they were unrighteous kings that God used because of their righteous policies that promoted good for the benefit of the nation. Please stop looking at the person and look at their policies. Because Jesus said in Luke 18, 19, no one is good except God. So there is no good candidate. There is no righteous person. But God can still use the righteous and the unrighteous to accomplish his good purposes. And so I want to share three things with us that I believe will help us advance the kingdom of God for the glory of God to stem the tide of evil in our land until Jesus comes. And here's the first one if you're taking notes. We got to get this, friends. God uses flawed, sinful people. Number two, vote policies over personalities. I'm going to share with you seven. And, you know, I could have chosen different ones, but I have chosen seven top policies with biblical support that I think are worth considering in this year's election in no particular order. Here's the first one, judges. Isaiah 1:26 says, God says, I will restore your judges as at the first and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. What is God saying there? He's saying when you choose right judges, they will bring righteousness to the land by virtue of their decisions. It is important that we have good judges. And don't underestimate the importance of the President of the United States in selecting federal judges. In Donald Trump's single term, he appointed 226 federal judges. That is an amazing number, proportionally more than any of his predecessors who had two terms. Again, Donald Trump appointed 226 federal judges. Obama, in his two terms, appointed 320. George W. Bush in his two terms, 322. Bill Clinton in his two terms, 367. So proportionally, Trump comes in 226. I mean, federal judges is an important aspect of who is president of the United States. And when it comes to the nation's 13 federal appeals courts, which have final word on most legal appeals around the country, Trump appointed, get this, 54 federal appellate judges in his single term. You know how many Obama appointed in his two terms? 55. So it is important that you consider when you're electing someone, what's the ramification on judges who will get appointed? And obviously, of course, that also includes Supreme Court justices. They play a huge role in the future of our nation in terms of judging and ruling in righteousness. And so ask yourselves, I'm not asking for a verbal response, I'm just saying these are the things we need to consider going into vote, which candidate will appoint the best judges and justices? Number two, we have to consider border security these days. And let me tell you, God's in favor of borders, just in case you don't know. This is Acts 17:26, and God has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. God's not opposed to boundaries or borders. In fact, when he divides up the land of Israel between the 12 tribes of Israel, he gives land allotments according to particular boundaries and borders. And if God is in favor of boundaries and borders, then surely he's in favor of defending those defined borders. So national defense is an important thing. At the same time, know the heart of God. He's also favorable toward the alien. In Zechariah 7:10, it says, "Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor." We should take care of the widow, the fatherless, the alien, and the poor. But when it comes to immigration, there is a right way and a legal way for aliens to come into our country. There's a right way. There's a legal way. I know many people who were not born in the United States who have immigrated to the United States. Praise God, we should be pro-immigration. But I know many people who have done it the legal way, the hard way. It's taken them years. Years to get their American citizenship. All the while, there are millions, how many now? 20 million who have been streaming across the southern border into our country, getting free hotels, free cell phones, free college education. And why? Ultimately, because some people think it'll develop into a voting bloc at the expense of our national security. I have a personal friend who, this is firsthand information, who was down at the border last year. He said, "Gary, I saw on the other side of the border pulling up several coach buses. And you know who got off? Every single person in those several coach buses was a young military age male from China coming right into our country." Where's the borders are? Where's the borders are? So ask yourselves the question, which candidate will best protect our national security? Number three, I think the subject of Israel is important. Genesis 12:3, God says clearly, "I will bless those who bless Israel, and I will curse him who curses Israel, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." I don't think it's appropriate to support every policy of every foreign nation. I'm sure every foreign nation doesn't support ours. I don't support our own, you know? So I'm not saying that carte blanche, everything Israel does is right. But what I do know is God says, we better be Israel's ally because he will bless those who bless Israel and God will curse those who curse Israel. And we cannot have our politicians cozying up to the enemies of Israel. There must not be daylight between the United States and Israel in terms of our support. We have to stop criticizing the Prime Minister of Israel. That man is in the most difficult position I could possibly imagine someone to be in. And he's under tremendous pressure and scrutiny. When Benjamin Netanyahu came and addressed a joint session of Congress on July the 25th, 2024, I think it was a disgrace that Vice President Harris, as President of the Senate, was not sitting behind him on the dais. Amen. But in all fairness, Senator J.D. Vance was out campaigning and he wasn't there either. The United States must show its unwavering support for the nation of Israel because the threat against Israel is great from Hamas, Hezbollah, the proxies of Iran, and we must be putting pressure on Iran and stop unfreezing their assets and doing all we can to show our unwavering support for Israel because he who blesses Israel will be blessed and whoever curses Israel will be cursed. And you need to ask yourself which candidate will best support the nation of Israel. Number four, religious liberty is important, especially to us. There are 613 laws in the Old Testament when you count them all. And God summarizes the most important in 10 of them that are found in Exodus chapter 20. The first of the 10 commandments is what we call the conscience clause. It's Exodus 20 verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." Why is this a conscience clause? Because it means that if my allegiance is supremely to God, there are no other gods, nothing else and no one else I worship above God, then that means I should not be required to bow down to or submit to anything or anyone that conflicts or competes with my loyalty and allegiance to the supreme God of heaven. So this is why we call it the conscience clause. We need to start to ask ourselves in this election, who will defend Americans' conscience, particularly on the level of religious freedom? It means that doctors who object to performing abortions on religious grounds won't be forced to. It means that cake makers and graphic designers and photographers who object to providing their services on religious grounds won't be forced to. It means that companies that object to providing abortifacient drugs as part of their healthcare program won't be forced to. It means that Christians who object to taking a vax on religious grounds won't lose their jobs. So ask yourselves, which candidate is going to preserve religious liberties and America's conscience? Because we only have one supreme God that we should bow down to. Number five, the issue of biological sex. God makes it clear in Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God assigns biological sex in the womb. We don't get to decide if we want to be a different gender. And to support that, legitimize it, or celebrate that is contributing to mental illness instead of helping people to realize the beautiful design that God created them to be. And that's what we should be about. Booker T. Washington said, quote, "A lie doesn't become truth, wrong doesn't become right, and evil doesn't become good just because it's accepted by a majority," end quote. 14 states currently have what are called transgender health care shield laws, among them Minnesota. Governor Tim Walz signed legislation last year making Minnesota a trans refuge state. Listen to this. If a minor child has been unable to obtain gender-affirming care because one or both parents object, the Minnesota law allows courts to have, quote, temporary emergency jurisdiction over the child. Governor Walz signed that into law. They're coming after your children. And all this gender confusion has led to biological boys competing in girls' sports, using girls' restrooms, and denying girls their fundamental protection and the Title IX rights that they deserve. So which candidate will best protect God's design of biological sex? Number six, family. This is out of Psalm 127:3. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. I don't need to tell you, we've all seen parental rights have been incrementally stripped. We've had to fight for parental rights. Children are being targeted by progressive evil agendas. That's not an overstatement. That is happening. We have to fight for our children. God has designed the family and he has entrusted children to our care. They don't belong to the state. They belong to God, and God has entrusted them to us. So we better manage what he's entrusted well and realize that if government tries to intrude in the family, it's a violation of what God's design is intended. Children are a heritage from the Lord. They are a fruit of the womb from him. Number seven, and I'll end with this one, the topic of life. In Acts 3:15, God is called the author of life. And in Proverbs 6:17, it says, God hates hands that shed innocent blood. So the question is, which candidate will best protect life? This is where some of you may not like to hear what I have to say on this, but I got to say it anyway, because the truth of the matter is this. We do not have a pro-life candidate in this race for president. We don't. Donald Trump has moved much more in the center, much more left than what he was in 2016 and 2020. He is now going around advocating for a 15-week ban on abortion. In case people understand, because I think it's a misleading label. I think it should be referred to as a 15-week allowance, okay? The 15-week ban that he's in favor of means that you can have abortions through 15 weeks, and then we shouldn't have any more, all right? Let me quote to you CDC's own number. Are you ready for this? 95% of all abortions in America happen in the first 15 weeks. when someone is going around saying, I'm for allowing abortions for 15 weeks, you are in effect saying, I'm for killing babies just a little bit less than the other person. Donald Trump, by his influence, has stripped the Republican national platform of its language, the strong language that used to support life. In 2016 and in 2020, the number of words in the Republican platform protecting life in 2016 and 2020, 1,300 words. It's been pared down to, in 2024, 90 words. The protection of life is not there like it once was. And this is of great concern to me. What is tragic in our nation right now is that, in all truthfulness, the Republican Party today in the area of abortion is what the Democrat Party was 30 years ago. 30 years ago, Bill Clinton was the one who said that abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. That's basically what many in the Republican Party are saying today. We've become the Democrat Party of 30 years ago on this topic. The other side is far worse. The Democrat Party has gone even further left on abortion and believes that it should be legal in all cases up until the moment of delivery, advocating for no restrictions on abortion, celebrating murder, and then using as a campaign slogan, it's just reproductive rights. No, it's murdering babies. And in case you don't think she's serious about it, why is it that it was allowed outside the doors of the Democratic National Convention for there to be a mobile abortion clinic aborting babies as they were having their convention? If that does not speak to evil, I don't know what does. And how can someone vote for that? That is what is being reflected. By that party. My last point is this, number three. Voting is not just a right, I'm convinced it's a duty. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus teaches a parable about two servants who work for the same master. The master goes away and he entrusts his work and his possessions to the servants. And when he comes back, what does he find? Well, one he calls an evil servant because that one did not take care of. He was not a good steward of what God had entrusted to him. But the other one he calls a wise and faithful servant because he took care of what the master had entrusted to him. It's a picture of Christ. Christ has gone away. He's the master. We are just serving him. And God entrusts a lot to us. And one of the things he has entrusted to us is the wonderful privilege as Americans of living in the greatest and freest country in the world, the United States of America. And he's entrusted this freedom to us. And we know the saying, freedom is never free. And so what are we going to do with what he's entrusted to us? Are we just going to sit it out? Are we just going to say, well, let everybody else vote. I don't like this. I don't like that. So I'm just going to sit it out. Listen, as disparaging as this sounds, every election has been about the lesser of two evils. The lesser of two evils. And we have to decide, what can we do to advance the kingdom of God for the glory of God and stem the tide of evil in our land until Jesus comes? Because if we do nothing, if we check out, if we remain silent, evil will rush into the vacuum. That's why it is incumbent upon every single one of us to be engaged in all of this. Yes, I know, you might have to hold your nose when you go to vote. But the alternative is far worse. What will happen if we don't stay engaged? Listen to me on this. There are 90 million self-identified evangelicals in America who are eligible to vote. 90 million. Of that 90 million, 40 million do not vote. And of that 90 million, 15 million are not even registered to vote. That's 55 million evangelical Christians who are saying, I'll let evil take over because I'm going to do nothing. That's a disgrace. We have no one to blame except ourselves, and we have wicked policies. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked are in authority, the people groan. I don't know about you. I'm tired of groaning. I don't want to groan. So it's a duty. It's not just a right and a privilege. It's a duty. We can't remain silent. God used, I think, a great person, William Wilberforce. God used Wilberforce in British Parliament to effectively outlaw slavery throughout the British colonies. It was his Christian faith that moved him to take the lead on this. And Wilberforce said, quote, "Let it not be said that I was silent when they needed me." Now listen, it is our right and our duty to vote. And so I think of what Frederick Douglass once said, quote, "I will unite with anyone to do right and no one to do wrong." I will unite with anyone to do right and no one to do wrong. And I close with this. In the 1940s, Adolf Hitler gathered all the prominent clergy in Germany at his place in Berlin. And he wanted to reassure them that he had their backs. Churches in Germany were state subsidized. And Hitler said to all these prominent clergy, he said, "Don't worry, with me in charge, I will take care of your subsidies. Your churches would not be harmed." One of those clergy in the room at that time, a great man of faith, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, stepped up to confront Hitler. And when he did, the other clergy took a step back. And Bonhoeffer said, "Herr Hitler, we are not concerned for the church, for Jesus Christ will take care of his church. We are concerned for the soul of Germany." And Hitler said to him, "Herr Bonhoeffer, you do not need to worry about the soul of Germany. I will take care of the soul of Germany." Friends, government is not the answer for the soul of a nation. Jesus is. And may God bring revival again to the United States of America. He's our only hope. He's our only hope. So, until Jesus comes, get out there, vote, be his ambassadors, be salt and light in this world, and advance the kingdom of God for the glory of God to stem the tide of evil in our land until Jesus comes. Let your voices be heard, let your votes be counted, and let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Amen and amen. To the glory of God. To the glory of God.
Amen. Pastor Gary Hamrick has been our featured speaker over the past couple of days here on the special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. We've been hearing a sermon that he gave recently from the pulpit of Cornerstone Chapel in Leesburg, Virginia, where he serves as senior pastor. And this special talk entitled, "Why Your Vote Matters, A Biblical Perspective for the Soul of America." By the way, if you'd like to get a copy of this sermon in book form, it's available online. We have a link for you there. "Why Your Vote Matters, A Biblical Perspective for the Soul of America," you can go to drjamesdobson.org/family talk and find more information about how you can get a copy of that book. Well, as we consider what's happening in the American culture right now and the role the church plays in either advancing the cause of Christ or seeing the nation continue to retreat from biblical values, we encourage you to check out our Countdown to Decision 2024 website, drjamesdobson.org/countdown-to-decision-2024. While you're there, you'll find a host of video and audio resources. We also have, if you live in one of the swing states, we have a swing state voter guide for 10 different states here in the United States of America. Again, you'll find all that information and more when you go to drjamesdobson.org/countdown-to-decision-2024. And finally, a free resource to share with you as we are just 2 weeks away from Election Day. Dr. Owen Strand, our senior director of the Dobson Culture Center, has written a free ebook called Voting and the Church: Why Christians Engage the Public Square. You can download your free copy when you go to drjamesdobson.org/engage. That's drjamesdobson.org/engage. Thanks so much for listening to Family Talk each and every day and for sharing these programs with your friends and family as well. We appreciate your prayers and faithful financial support and remind you that you can give a gift online at drjamesdobson.org or you can give a gift over the phone when you call 877-732-6825. Of course, we also love to receive your donations through the U.S. mail. Our ministry mailing address is Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, P.O. Box 39000, Colorado Springs, Colorado, the zip code 80949. Well, I'm Roger Marsh. On behalf of Dr. James Dobson and the entire staff here at the JDFI, thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.